Good morning and welcome to One and All as we gather on the sixth Sunday of Easter. Pastor Steve, he isn't here this morning because his daughter Anna graduated from Ohio Wesleyan yesterday. So congratulations to her and congratulations to Reese Fannin. He also graduated from Miami yesterday. So Godspeed with them as they go on to what lies next in their lives. A few announcements I'd like to highlight on, speaking of graduates, on May 28th, both services will be recognizing the high school graduates from our congregation. So if you have a high school graduate, please come. We have a graduation quilt waiting for them. We're still looking for people to go to the Southern Ohio Synod Assembly coming up here on June 3rd. We're looking for one man and one woman, and you don't have to be married to each other if you don't want to be. But we're looking for someone to come and represent St. John's for that. So if that piques your curiosity, it's only one day, 9 to 3. For 9 to 4:30, I guess, right, Lynn? Please let Lynn know, and she will get you all set up. And last week, Tina Ike gave a temple talk for her daughter, Georgia, explaining a new program at Georgia's church called Motherhood Reclaimed Ministry. There's envelopes on the outside of, I know there are down there, I assume there are out there on the Water Street entrance, where you can make donations to that. And the organization helps new mothers with various things. It gives them coaching support and the such. So please, if you feel like making that ministry a part of your life, please feel free to do that. And that's really about all the announcements I wanted to highlight for this morning. So let us all begin worship by standing and singing our gathering song.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plan, that's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plans, that's just the way it is. You are God alone, from before time began. You are on your throne, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone. You're the only God. Everything we can give, you are God, that's just the way it is. You are God alone, from before time began. You are on your throne, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone. Unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. You are God alone, from before time began. You are on your throne, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are.
First lesson is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by the raising of him from the dead. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring to you God. He has put to death in flesh, but alive in spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Praise to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, and you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, living in a difficult world that grows more intense and complex each and every day, Lord, we seek your guidance. Give us the knowledge that we need. Give us the guidance that we need. And Almighty God, most of all, help us to take your guidance and listen. Amen. In one of the most critically acclaimed movies ever to be overlooked by the Academy Awards, Animal House, they start out by showing a statue with a plaque at the base that says, Knowledge is good. A very profound statement, to say the least. But I've always felt that that needs to be suffixed by another phrase, when grounded in the truth. Knowledge not grounded in the truth can be a very dangerous thing. It can cause incalculable pain when it leads people astray. We live in a world where the truth is considered to be whatever you want it to be. Well, if you look around, modern society is playing that out. And if you look closer, it's really not going all that well, as we live in a very, very divided and fractious nation. But that is oh so true when it comes to our lives of faith, and living in a knowledge that is not grounded in truth is always bad news. When Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him in his ministry, he told him, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have come to be convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." When I preach and we have readings, I love it when I can mesh one reading into another reading. And in our first lesson from the book of Acts, we get a very strong lesson in knowledge, truth, and being led away from the salvation that can only be found in the one true God. In our first lesson for today, we read about Paul on one of his journeys in Greece. And as he wandered through Athens, he came across a culture that had a virtual buffet of different gods and different idols for people to worship. If you didn't like one god, you just went on down the line until you found one that met your needs. And as he stood in front of one of the great temples in Athens, Paul proclaimed, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I look carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" In many ways, we today live in a culture that's really not all that different from the Greek culture Paul wanders through in the book of Acts. Much like people in olden days, people today worship all types of gods and hold tightly to many idols. Money, our possessions, our cars, our homes, various activities that we enjoy doing, ourselves. There's certainly no lack of narcissism or hubris in the world today. And at times, we totally forget that God isn't gold or silver or images created by some guy in a back shop. The true God is the one who overlooks our ignorance, who forgives our sins, and who showers us in God's glorious and loving grace. He even sent his only son to die on the cross for a world that many times ignores his teachings, his works, and the needs of each other, his creation. So you can see in many ways, God still remains an unknown God today, not only to non-believers, but also to those who profess to follow Christ, as we let so many other things jump in front of God in our lives. But God, luckily, knows people vastly better than we know people. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows all too well what an amazing mess that would ensue if he left us to our own devices. He left Adam and Eve alone in the garden with only one simple rule to follow. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, how did that work out? All of humanity was condemned to sin and to death. And moving on, what did Christ's inner circle, those who were called to leave what they were doing and follow him in blind faith, what did people who lived with him for 3 years do after our Lord was crucified? They holed up in a room, afraid to get out there and carry on the work that Jesus Christ gave them to do. And even then, when they left that room, they tried to return to what they were doing before. Try though they may, they hadn't been changed by the love of God at that point in their lives. They needed help to continue to follow Christ and to do His will. They needed a counselor and a comforter to guide and uplift them through a fallen and sinful and sin-ridden world. Jesus Christ died on that cross to become our advocate on the day of judgment, when I guarantee you we will have a lot to explain that we in our human weakness simply cannot. Why didn't you help people in need? Why didn't you do your part to look over and care for my creation? Why didn't you care about anything but yourself? So Jesus tells us He's going to give us not a hand out, but a hand up in our struggles in life. God would send us an advocate to work in our lives and lead us on our walk of faith. And I will ask the Father, Christ tells us, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you read. You know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. Another promise from Jesus that we can count on. The Spirit of truth was alive and well, dwelling in their hearts and working in their lives. They had heard Jesus' promises time and time again, but then they were afraid, although they knew that Christ would always fulfill them. We are not alone in this great battle against temptation and sin. That should bring amazing joy to your world that should bring you amazing joy to a world that can't drive a car, shop for groceries, or walk a dog without having a phone up to your ear. You forget that while you're not talking to anybody you can see, the Holy Spirit is still with you. But that great promise that Christ tells us also tells us something that we often overlook in life. In verse 18, we read, "I will not leave you orphan. I am coming to you." What do you think of when you hear that some kid's an orphan? No parents or family in the picture. No one to love and care for them. They're totally alone to learn right from wrong. Now let me ask you this. What does verse 18 tell you about the way God sees Christ's followers? Personally, it tells me that God sees us as children, people He cares deeply about, members of His glorious holy family. When we're born, we come into a fallen world, and by default nature, whatever you want to call it, we're sinful. But by God's loving grace and the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, we are given faith. And through that faith, we become the children of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." By grace, we know God's promises of forgiveness and salvation, and for that we love Him. The next step in our journey is being a child of God, like all good children, obeying our Father. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," Jesus tells us. By grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are led to follow God's commandments. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19, Paul reminds us that Adam sinned and passed that sinfulness on to his children this very day. He writes, "For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous." And that's another promise we can count on. In the book of Matthew, we read a parable about two people who built houses, one on sand, the other on a rock. When the storms came, the house built on sand simply fell apart. But the house built on sand, on solid ground, was able to stand firm and weather the storm. When we build our house on solid ground, God promises to be our solid rock during the stormy weather that inevitably comes through our lives. And I don't know about you, but to that, I think we should all say, to God be the glory, our rock and our guide in tough time. Amen. Please arise as we confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, he who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God, our faithful companion, you promise to never leave us and to send your Spirit to guide us in wisdom and truth. Send your people into the world to serve as mirrors that reflect and magnify your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All the earth sings praises to you. Grant your care to the creatures, plants, and places that are suffering, and equip us to respond to their song. Make us agents of restoration and refreshment for all beloved creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to all who are oppressed and speak truth to power through the prophets. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nurturing Lord, you sent your Spirit to grant us peace. Make your presence known to those who feel abandoned or alone, and to all who are sick or grieving. We lift up before you this morning, Almighty God, Sharon, Rhonda, Pastor Charla, Judith, Adrian, John and Kathy, Emily, Andrea, Jean and Brian, Vivian, Cody, Myron, Carol, Paul, and all those that we name now, either aloud or in the privacy of our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You hold us in your loving care. We pray for mothers and mother figures. Console all who long to be mothers, children estranged from their mothers, anyone grieving the death of a mother, and mothers who have lost a child. Support all for whom this day is difficult. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you give life and breath to all things. Sustain us by your love until we join the saints in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please arise. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious, holy, and good God, we thank you for Jesus' resurrection. Help us to celebrate him not only today, but every day. Remind us that because Jesus lives, we can stay hopeful even amid troubles. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world, for Jesus is risen today. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Worthy is the Lamb who slain. Worthy is.